I'd like to introduce our speaker today, who will speak until 10:10 and will then answer any questions from the audience. Let's all welcome Patricia from Tustin.
Good morning, I'm Pat. I'm an alcoholic, and I am so nervous. I wasn't nervous till just now, but I did ask God to help me share the message, and hopefully somebody will need to hear something. Otherwise, if you all, the people that know me know that I am not a speaker. I mean, I hardly share at meetings, and you know, if I do, I never make it to the timer. I try to make it to the timer sometimes, but I don't. So what I'm going to try to do is say what happened or what it was like. What happened and what it's like now. You know, kind of grew up in a family, probably alcoholic family, where my parents drank a lot and dad was kind of angry and, you know, kind of when he came home, you know, you get up and make sure everything's, you know, straightened up or, you know, you don't never know what kind of mood he's going to be in if, you know, if he's going to kind of just throw things around. And you know, I don't know if any of you grew up in that kind of family, but it's kind of scary. And my mom drank a lot, and maybe I'll just do this. I can't stand on my tippy toes, kind of short. So there was four of us, and we, you know, all us kids, we got along pretty good, and you know, we fought like everyone else, but you know, the parents, there was no real, what do you say, structure in our home. We didn't Not once do I ever remember my mom saying, do your homework, you know. Used to watch those shows, Leave It to Beaver and Father's Knows Best, and kind of aging myself here, but, you know, those were the shows that I, you know, even heard, you know, maybe go to college, do your homework, you know, those kinds of things. So luckily for me, those shows were around because that's why I even tried hard in school, because I knew I wanted to go to college. And so let's see, my first, oh, just even growing up, I remember always wanting more. Like I remember one night eating like 5 bowls of chili because it tasted good, I think. I don't know why I did that. I remember getting sick to my stomach and my dad, you know, coming into my room and carrying me, you know, to the bathroom. And my dad never really, you know, carried us anywhere besides, so it kind of felt good. And my dad was away out of the home a lot, but going back to always wanting more, like at Christmas, I remember, you know, all the Christmas presents from Santa Claus, I would tell my brothers and sisters, oh, no, they're all mine, you know, you got really selfish kid. So those are the things that happened. When I was about 11 years old, had a bunch of friends, and they decided it was a good idea that we go down to the liquor store and ask somebody to buy us some beer. I can't believe 11 years old, because I have a son who is 12 right now, and I can't believe that, you know, looking at him right now, that would be possible, that 11-year-old can go down and, you know, score some beer and go to a park and get drunk and go home and your parents don't even know. You know, I can't believe it. So I would hope to think that I would know that my son was drunk when he came home. And I remember it being fun. I remember taking the first drink. It was Old English 1800. You know. And I remember drinking the can. And I remember that was probably one of the funnest days at the park, you know, that we ever had. I think we went to my friend's house after and took a nap. And then went home and did our homework. And, you know, that was it. And then it just escalated. The next thing I can remember is being 19, and I was getting pulled over by an officer. I had just gone over to my sister's house one Friday night, and I was 19. I was managing a liquor store. It was a really good job for me. So I had the keys. I could go in there anytime and get alcohol. My boss was he never even questioned if there was booze missing. He would come in and take a bunch himself, and so I thought it was okay that I did too. And I can remember, let's see, I think I picked up some beer, went to my sister's in Anaheim, and drank some beers. The next thing I knew, the lights were pulling me over, and I'm like, whoa, where am I? You know, I was in a blackout driving around. And I remember I had this old Corvair pickup truck. And the side went down because I had a motorcycle, because my dad thought it would be a good idea that I rode a motorcycle to save gas. But then, you know, so then he bought me this other car. I was like, I was the strange kid on the block, let me tell you. So I remember opening that door and the big Budweiser cans falling out as I stumbled out of the car and failed the sobriety test. And the officer took me to a restaurant on Beach Boulevard and said, he wrote down where I was and said, call somebody to pick you up. And I was so drunk, I couldn't remember my phone number. And I don't know who I called, if I even tried to call, but I remember walking out on Beach Boulevard about 3 a.m. and somebody pulled over and said, hey, you need a ride? I'm like, yeah, okay. So I have the directions. I go, can you take me here? And I think this guy thought I was a hooker because I remember crying and saying, can you let me out? Can you let me out? And so he let me out. I found my car. I don't know how, but I made it home. And then another scary time. I mean, I did this stuff a lot. I was in a blackout. My date had dropped me off at the liquor store. And he said where my car was. That's why. And he said, are you okay to drive? And I said, yeah, of course, you know. So I get in I had a red Volkswagen van. So I get in my van and I drive. The next thing I know, I'm at the city dump where it was, I don't know, 30 years ago, where it was up on the hills somewhere. And I was in my high heels and I was stuck in the dirt on a hill. I don't know how I got out of there. I remember saying, oh my God, I was so scared because I remember seeing the moon and I remember saying, oh God, help me. And the next thing I knew, I was home waking up. And I have no idea to this day how I got home that night, how I got out of that I was stuck. I mean, from my memory, I was stuck on a hill somewhere up in a dirt pile. I think it was the dump. I don't know. So I made it home. And that's the kind of stuff that happened to me. And then I decided one day I was going to go to college. I didn't know what I wanted to do, maybe a psychologist, because I probably needed to learn how to fix myself because I was so messed up. And I remember I was watching General Hospital one day and thought it might be a good idea to go to nursing school. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So I went to nursing school. Within 2 weeks, I had, found a nursing school back in Iowa where my relatives lived, my grandmother lived, in this small town in Iowa where they all drink a lot. And so there I went to Iowa. And oh my gosh, I was the black guy. I used to wake up, put my pants on backwards. I was so hungover, and somehow I made it through. I guess in your 20s, your teens and your 20s, I was 19 when I started. I was 22 when I graduated. And I think I only missed one day out of that whole time, and I drank a lot. I can remember we'd bring our alarm clocks out. It was a small town, and there was probably three different nursing schools in this town, and there was a lot of bars. And we'd just bring our alarm clock, all of us girls, and, for the party, after the party, in case we, we're going to sleep, somewhere at a party, that we'd have our alarm clocks to make it back to school, and we did. So graduated from nursing school, and now I have a job. Before I got my job, I was working at 7-Eleven, and I remember getting the call one day, to go for my first job interview, and I remember I didn't have a resume. I mean, I wasn't prepared at all. I went home and put this wrinkled dress on, and I had these nylons that were probably snagged and no heels, and I ran over there to this job, and thank God the lady was busy, and she just had this other lady show me around, and she came back, and director of nurses told her secretary, she just said, well, if she wants a job, it's hers, because I guess she had gone to a school in Iowa, so she thought that maybe I'd be good for that job. So that was my first job, and so continued to drink. And I remember working my first year or two, I remember having, I was so hungover when I walked up, it was a New Year's, not even New Year's Day, it was the next day. And I hadn't drank since New Year's Eve. So maybe a little champagne on New Year's Day, but I was so hungover when I walked up those steps and got up to my, you know, to my floor where I was working, and I was green. And they sent me home because I was so hungover. And so then I remember about 6 months into my nursing career, one of the older nurses, I had some cramps one day, and I was, you know, I couldn't hardly work, but I was there because a good work ethic coming from Iowa, you know. So I'd show up to work no matter what. And so this nurse gave me a little Tylenol number 3 thing that, woo, when I took that, I was like, whoa, you know. I felt good. I could work, you know. And then all of a sudden the cocaine thing started coming in, you know. There was all this cocaine, and now you could drink more. But now the hangovers were worse. So you needed something to come down from the cocaine. So started doing drugs. And thought that was a good idea. So probably about 2 years after doing that, you know, I was crazy. My life was crazy. I was also going to school. I had 3 jobs, you know, because I could do that because I had all this, you know. I could party, work 3 jobs, and have this really sick relationship, too, that I had for 8 years. This guy, I don't think my parents ever told us how to have a relationship or, you know, that, you know, like, I supported this person for 8 years, bought him a car, let him stay in my house, you know, and I didn't know how to get rid of him. You know, every time I tried to get rid of him, I hurt, you know, I hurt. And even all the drugs, alcohol, cocaine, all that wouldn't even help to get rid of that person I don't even know today. I don't even know who that person was that I lived with for 8 years. But thank God I hit my first treatment center. I remember being at work one night, and I had 3 jobs. I remember I had 2 pagers, and I was at work in the ER that night. And even before this, I knew that I needed to do something because my life was out of control. I remember I'd shop like crazy. I'd go out and buy like 6 different shirts of the same color, you know, just bring home bags and bags of clothes because I had a lot of money because I had 3 jobs, you know. I was making pretty good money. And so I was pretty crazy. My parents, I was living at home at the time because I had to move out of my house to get rid of that boyfriend because he just kept coming back. And I let him come back because it hurt. It hurt. And I didn't know, you know. My daughter, her first love, I remember telling her, you know, it will end. You know, it's going to hurt, but it will end, you know, and you just know that it's, you know, you're just going to have to walk through that pain. You know, no one ever told me that in my family. My dad just said, he's never going to change, you know, so make a decision, you know. So, and they liked him. I mean, this guy gave my dad a bunch of marijuana, and my dad, like, took it and had it in the garage for a long time. My dad was just nuts. I mean, he was nuts, but that's another story. Let's see, where was I? So the boyfriend, I finally moved out of my house, moved back with my parents, and they kind of looked at me like, oh my God, what is wrong with her? You know, I'm shopping a lot, I'm working, I wouldn't come out of my bedroom when I was at home. You know, I was just getting sicker and sicker. And then I have my sister, who's younger than me, 3 years. She got sober, younger, and she was just graduating from nursing school at this time. And, you know, here she'd come over with all her friends, you know, sober friends, and they all hung out at the Friendship Club, and, you know, they come in, and they were laughing, and they were doing stuff, and, you know, I thought, how pathetic, you know. Those losers, they have to go to meetings, and, you know, that's really pathetic, you know. So, you know, my sister, she just sat back and watched me. She didn't say a word, and she was pretty smart, because when my whole life came crumbling down, I remember this night at work, you know, where I had fallen asleep at, you know, when you talk to the paramedics and there's accidents and stuff out there, and you're supposed to respond to them and, you know, tell them where to go and what to do. And I fell asleep and I didn't hear the bell ring. So that was the last night. I knew at that point I couldn't go back to that job again. Something in me, probably my higher power who saved me, many times, said, okay, you're done. You're done here, dear. So they plucked me from that, and I went out shopping for treatment centers. I didn't just land in one. I went out and shopped and got brochures because, you know, I didn't just want to go anywhere. That was my first treatment center. Went out shopping, had all new clothes, you know. Went to Capistrano by the Sea and kind of just, you know, so I'm just here to get off, you know, alcohol and drugs. And, oh, my God, it had been from 11 to, was I now 30-ish, 31 to, something like that. Oh, my God, they, I think I slept the first couple days. And then I remember they'd wake us up to go to meetings and groups and stuff. And, oh, my God, I never expected what I was in for. And the feelings that start coming up, I can relate to Sarah coming up here because it's like, you know, I remember the nurses, you know, saying, you're just having feelings. I'm like, feelings? What the fuck are feelings? You know, and I'm like, fuck, you know, fuck this and fuck that. And, you know, I'm like, I'm not this person, you know. I'm telling them, I'm not usually this mean, and I'm a nurse, and, you know, you should let me stay up and watch TV. And, oh, those poor nurses. Ay, ay, ay. So I was in there just to get off drugs and alcohol. Was in there 3 months I was in there. I was pretty sick. So then they asked me to, you know, sign in with the, what do you call it, the it's a nursing thing that you know, you tell them that you have a problem and they direct your program. And so I did that unwillingly because I said, I'm not in trouble. Why should I do this? I'm not in trouble, you know. So I did anyway. And then I decided, you know, screw you. I don't want to do this. You're going to make me work in this stupid place that I don't like and forget it. I'm not going in. But I didn't see that little place at the bottom of the line that said, or the page that says, if we feel you're in danger to yourself or the public, we're going to turn you in anyway. So I think they caught up with me and I was clean, thank God. I was trying to remember how many treatment centers I've been in. I think seven or eight. Inpatient, outpatient, you know, all that stuff. So it took me, I was smarter than all you guys because, you know, I was going to do it my way because I was smart. So got in trouble my first time. They finally caught up with me. God, I had seven or eight non-divertible felonies. They caught up with me because I was taking stuff from work. And I remember being at a meeting in Tustin. It was at the church where I go to a meeting now, at the 6 a.m. meeting at the Foothills Church. And I remember that was basically where my recovery started. That was seven treatment centers later, you know. I finally get it. I get it. Okay, I get it. I can't do it. I can't do that, you know. I have to start being serious and working the steps. So, you know, I showed up, you know, to that meeting every day, and I told the truth. And, you know, then on my year chip, I was going to court for those seven or eight non-divertible felonies. And I remember I had an attorney who was up in L.A., and I remember going up there to see him, and he had a sign or a big picture of O.J. Simpson behind him. And, you know, that was all the O.J. Simpson stuff was happening. I'm like, oh, this can't be a good sign. But, you know, he never showed up to court. It wasn't him. It wasn't my attorney. It was God. God was helping me, and I got off all those charges. I showed up and told the truth. And in the courtroom that day, there was like seven people from Alcoholics Anonymous. Thank you. There was somebody at my 6 a.m. meeting. I don't know if he was the public defender or the other one. What's it called? Yeah. He said, oh, you know, because I told my story, and I said I was on my way to court, and he said, oh, you're going to be in court, whatever. He goes, that's my courtroom. And I said, oh, great, you know. See you there. So, yeah. So, you know, I had my sponsor with me at the time, and, you know, she said, why don't you go in the bathroom and pray, and I did. I came back, and I guess they called my name when I was in there, and they said, you know, they said the judge was going to issue a bench warrant, and he stood up for me and said, Judge, you know, Your Honor, she's here, you know. So I was like, wow, my sponsor told me that. And so then when he first came in, he stopped by where I was sitting in the court, and he said, do you want me to put a good word in for you? And I'm like, oh, I was so nervous. You know, I just go, my sponsor hit me and said, yes, yes, of course. So I said, yes. So anyway, I don't know where the gift came from. I don't know what happened, but all I had to do is this PC 1000 class, which I wasn't supposed to be able to do because of the nature of the fraud charges that I had done. This nice person who I am, who I don't even would take milk back, you know, I don't, unless it came to alcohol or drugs, I was pretty straight, you know, honest. And so anyway, fast forward, I got sober, stayed sober for about 7 years, and then I had my son, met the guy on AA campus, which was wonderful. I'm still married to him today, and we had a son, and somewhere after he was born, I had some pain issues, and after about a year, I thought it was a good idea to start taking narcotics again. It was really stupid. So the same thing, 5 years later, same thing happened to me. Lost everything. I got a call from my husband's attorney, remove yourself from the house. We're taking the kid away. I'm like, okay, I knew right then. I cried. I yelled at him, screamed, and said, okay, God. I picked up the phone to Cornerstone. No, I went to Hogue first because they have better food over there. So then I got out, and I knew I was in legal problems, so I went to Cornerstone after getting out of that treatment center, and I've been sober ever since. It's been a little over 7 years, and I have such an amazing life today, and I hope our friend Sarah over here gets it. I hope you don't have to go to 7 treatment centers and, you know, do the things I did. I finally get it. Since then, I finally don't even really want anything. I just, you know, I see that stuff, and I just want to put my head in the toilet. Because that's where it takes you anyways, you know. If you be alcoholic or drug addiction like me, you're going to get your head in the toilet. And, you know, you just can't do it. It just, I don't care what you do, you can't do it if you be like me. So it's pretty easy once you show up and decide you're going to get sober. You just work the steps. You get a great sponsor, somebody recommended. Because I pray every day. I try to. Not every single day, but I try to. And if I pray, I get exactly what I need. I have a great job today. I've been there little over 5 years. I hated it the first 2 years, but my sponsor kept saying, just be of service, just be of service. I'm like the F word all the time in my head saying, fuck, I just want to leave this job. But I can't leave the job today because I am, you know, every time I go to get a new job, they pull up my shit, you know, on the computer and say, oh, Miss Coin, you are definitely a risky person to hire, you know? So I have to kind of stay where I'm at. yeah. Yeah, God gave me a gift, and I love my job today. I really love it. There would be only one place I would even leave to go there, and I'm too chicken to even put an application in because I'm afraid of rejection. So I think I'm about out of time, and I have a great life. I love my friends. We go out every Friday, and I have other friends that I can call anytime. I love everybody from Alcoholics Anonymous. We're just not a glum lot. We have fun. We're going to go to the Laughlin Convention coming up here, and we have a great time, just whatever we do. You know, it's just life is so much easier, and you don't have to be responsible. You don't have to feed all the homeless people. And like I used to chase people down and give them money because I felt so guilty. But today I don't. I have a good life. So that's it. Thanks.
Now, do we have time for question and answer period? Okay. Pat, you want to come up?
Questions? Nope. Okay. Good. Have a nice day. That's it. Yes, by the grace of God, because let me tell you, I shouldn't be. But I kind of, the first time around, you know, they make it a not mandatory program. Like I took myself in. So but I couldn't use it again. So the next time I had to deal with what they call probation. So I had to go through, and this is the scary part about being a nurse, is they don't even catch, there are so many of us that it takes about, I think it's 3 to 5 years for them to catch up to you after a complaint's been made. So that's scary. So, and then it's pretty standard. Everybody kind of gets the same thing. It's either a 3 or 5 year, depending on how well you do or whatever. So as long as you suit up and show up, but if you go through the probation, then it never leaves your record. Well, it's if you go through diversion, then it will be shredded. So you get to use it again as many times as you need to, which is a neat thing because there's so many of us that are chemically dependent. What am I doing? So thank God I can still practice. But, you know, it's hard to get a job because every time, you know, I go to and I was a job junkie before, so this is God's way of saying stop and stay at the same job for a while. Maybe I'll go somewhere. So. Yes, okay. I decided myself, there's no stipulations. I could work patient care, but I decided not to do that because... why tempt myself? I mean, it's not a problem right now, but I, you know, I've done it before, and if I had a bad day or whatever, who knows? I don't put myself around the keys, you know. But let me tell you, I'm smart enough to get it if I want to, but I don't want to today, thank God. So I just do case management. I do work in a hospital and just kind of manage patients' care around, but not doing direct patient care, so... But I get opportunities to work with, if I had to guess, I would say about 90% of people in the hospital is because of we abuse ourselves with drugs, alcohol, smoking, you know, so there's lots of opportunities to educate and, you know, do fun, you know, stuff through my job. Lots of people need help. Well, let's see, I was at Capistrano by the Sea twice. I was at Hogue twice. I was at St. Joe's once. Cornerstone once. And I'm sure there was a couple more in there somewhere. I kind of liked Hogue. Hogue is, they got the really good food and, you know, it was just a fun group and, you know, it was just... You know, and I tell you, they made your detox really comfortable. And, you know, I remember my husband coming to visit, and he was pissed because my husband's sober. He's got, I don't know, he's got 20-something years right now. I always, you know, and it was funny because I used to tell him how to do his program. You notice I didn't tell him I was speaking today. He's not here. So anyway, yeah, Hogue's definitely the best. If you got that's you know if you got that good insurance or if you are lucky enough to have cash to pay so good.